Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
good evening. Wake up out there, everybody. Become aware, think, take action, step into your greatness, stay there, and take others with you. This is Sunday. We're going to have an exciting show. I have a caller in all the way from Houston, Texas, Miss Andrea White Thomas, and her topic this evening will be What I See as a Teacher. She's going to share great information with you. This is the family hour. We're going to get started here. I think we have Miss Andrea White Thomas on the line with us. Hello, Andrea. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Very good. Good evening. Thank you. I know we're on a different time frame here, and we're going to just get started because we do not want you up too late because you must be ready tomorrow with those sharp eyes. Andrea White Thomas is my great niece. I knew this young lady before she was here. She is a scholar, as so is all of her sisters and brothers. You know, we come from a family of scholars. As a matter of fact, they encouraged me to return back to school, and I told them, you know, all of you guys are summa laudis and cummas and magnums, and guess what? I'm going to be in that laudy family also, and that did come true. Yes, I am. So, Andrea, before we get started, can you tell me a little bit about those two lovely, lovely queens, Shania and Sydney, your daughters? Just briefly, just share with us.
Okay, well, Shania, my oldest, she's about to turn 8, actually, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. She will be 8. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, she's growing so fast, and she's happy. She's ready for summer. But she's at that age still where she enjoys school, but, you know, she's like, Mom, I'm ready for summer. I want to go to the pool. So it's starting to get warm outside, so that's what she's excited about.
Okay.
And and Sydney, she's 4, and she's happy all the time. So she can go to school year-round, so she actually doesn't want to leave. She's at the pre-K right now at the daycare. So she wants to go the whole summer. But since I'm going to be off, I figured, you know, let's spend time together. Since the year is so busy, I like to spend that time with them in the summer.
And I love what you do. You do many, many things. Listeners, if you go on Facebook, you'll see them posted out. The lovely divas that they are, and they are immaculate in their fashion because Andrea keeps them well dressed. They're perfect little ladies. I just cannot wait until I return to get me some good hugs and kisses on that. So I know that they're probably asleep now. Auntie's going to send them something down. But as a chair, what grades are, where are you located, what school, and what grades?
Okay, I work at Lamar Consolidated High School, and it's located in Rosenberg, Texas.
Okay.
And I teach chemistry, so it's mainly 10th graders, but, you know, you have a few 11th graders in there, maybe a senior who needs to repeat the course or never took it. So, but majority is 10th graders.
Okay. And with these students, chemistry is a tough subject, but we know it's nothing her students dealing with academics in the South, because that educational system is a little different. As I hear, you got either one or two things to do. You can go to school or you can get in trouble. So I'm pleased to know that you guys decided to go to school and not get in trouble, and you're there with your open eyes to direct others to do the same thing. So tell us a little bit about what you see as a teacher. Just take off wherever you want to start with us. I'm going to give it all to you.
Okay. Well, from a teacher standpoint, I guess with the whole issue with bullying, I feel like so many schools, they're trying to do the right things, and they're pushing the whole anti-bullying, and it's horrible. It's a horrible thing, and it's something that has been around for so long, but it's actually changed. And I was talking to my sister, who's an educator as well, about how different bullying is now compared to what it was when we were in, you know, the grade school. And now, or I guess starting off, when we were in school, I feel like bullying was, you know, the kid, that one kid that just, you know, keeps on bothering you, won't leave you alone. Not really, you know, so much as stealing your money, even though I know for some people that may be the case. But, you know, I just feel like a bully is someone who just constantly bothers you. And despite you saying no or leave me alone, they just keep on going. But when you go home, that's kind of it. It ends. You know, it's just kind of an at-school thing. But the way that I feel it's changed now is with the phones and the computers, everything that we have now, it takes it to a whole nother level because it turns into cyberbullying. So it doesn't just end when you go home, because all you have to do is get on your phone and on Twitter, on Instagram, someone can be continuing to say things to you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like it just never ends. And that's what makes it so bad. So it makes it a lot worse, I think, from when we were younger, just because of how electronics and everything has just progressed. I mean, it's good. I love the phones. Everyone does. You know, I have to have my phone, and as most people do. But when it comes to bullying, I think it's just, it's so bad.
So you're saying that the difference between then and now is then, you know, it was sort of like face-to-face and instead it would happen at that time, it happens. But now it continues because of all the technology. And well, let me ask you, if a person doesn't have, I'm not too skilled with Twitter. I'm familiar a little bit with Instagram, but how does that go? They just post out and call a name and it goes everywhere?
At my school, all of the students, you know, they know each other. And if you have one friend, or it may not be called friend, because I'm not familiar, a whole lot familiar with Twitter, but from what I know is if you have one person on Twitter, you see who they're linked to, and it just, you know, if they retweet something, then you can see it on your screen. It's a matter of one person posting something, and it can get around the whole school in a matter of minutes. You know, it's that quick. And I've seen it before where students have been sitting in class, and in their phone they'll see a tweet that says, fight outside the girls' restroom after third period. And the whole school will be there waiting for the fight. Just that quick. You know, and that's what I mean, technology is great, but, you know, I think it takes a mature, you know, I guess a mature user to know how to use it the right way.
Okay. So if you're going to be on these social media methods and use it, then you're saying grow up, you know.
Yes.
And I guess it can really escalate and can really be horrible for the simple reason you can just write anything. It's different than approaching a person face to face, which takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to do. So most of the time, this bullying steals from bullying's are really, they're really sad, lonesome, cowardly people. exactly. When it comes down to that, because it would probably be a different approach if you were going face to face.
Face to face.
You can, yeah, if you can just sit back and just say whatever you want to say and, you know, have it go out, post out all over the world, that's a hurting thing to the individual that it's happening to. So when things happen like that, you're chemistry students and you have to have a lot of concentration. Do you see these type of bullying tactics or just bullying as a whole affecting a student's pattern as far as grading and learning and focusing and comprehending? Mm-hmm. How do you handle that when you run into a student that has been bullied in one of your classes?
Yes, it does. It definitely affects the student. You know your student. As a teacher, I think a great teacher really knows their students, and from the beginning of the year, you look and you know how that one student acts, and if they're cheerful most of the time, if they come in and they just have, you know, their personality. So when you start to see a change in that student, I know at least for me, it kind of sends up a red flag for me. I'm like, okay. Note, I need to talk to this student, and I need to just ask them what's going on, which that's what I do. And so I'll be like, hey, you're not yourself. What's going on? Is it something you want to talk about? And most of the time, I feel like I've done a really good job building a relationship with my students to where they feel comfortable to come to me. Most of them, not all, but most feel comfortable with coming to me, and they'll be like, yes, can I talk to you out in the hallway? And at that time, they'll, you know, tell me this is going on. Or, you know, another thing with the young high school students, they really, a lot of, I guess I don't want to say ego, but they don't want to seem like they're telling on someone. I don't want to confuse you, but they don't want to be, they'll call it a snitch. I don't want to snitch. That's what they say. But. And at that point, I tell them, look, right is right, wrong is wrong. Just let me know what's going on. And, you know, they'll tell me so-and-so has been saying this or posting that. And at that point, as a teacher, you know, I wish that I really could, you know, just leave it with me. But depending on what they say, it may need to go to a higher authority, which, you know, most of the time it always does. Because you want to put an end to it. I don't like to see, you know, anyone being treated unfairly. I don't. And it's sad, and especially when, you know, it affects their work. They become sad. They don't want to do what they used to do. And you don't want it to get to that point. I've had cases before with bullying where I've seen students and they'll ask me, "Hey, can I, Ms. Thomas, stay in here for lunch?" And that's a big sign to me because I'm like, why would you want to come and sit in a teacher's room instead of going to lunch and socializing with other students? So that lets you know something's going on with them. And, you know, some teachers wouldn't allow students to do that. But if you know that student and you see them and you see them in a place where they're sad, almost about to cry, you'd be like, yeah, come. That's fine. You can sit in here. That's no problem. And,
okay.
Yeah. I've done that before and had a student who she told me she was being bullied. She was a new student at school, and it was a group of girls who, I guess, wanted to pick on the new girl, and they were posting things about her on, it was either Twitter or Instagram, I'm not exactly sure which one, and she just started crying in class one time, and I just felt so bad, and I found out what was going on, And of course, I told administrators so that they can be aware. And from that point, they pull them in and do a little mediation and try to get to the bottom of it so it ends.
So they can discontinue, because I could imagine, you know, when like you say, then and now, when you were in school, and you can imagine what it was like when I was in school, because you had to do the face-off toe-to-toe. If that was a problem, you know, and there was dialogue needed, then it was done face-to-face. So it wasn't a thing that, you know, that everyone had to step up to the plate. You had to have courage.
If you
had a situation or an incident that you had to actually dialogue about it face-to-face, which technology is great, but I have always felt and will feel that the voice does the work. And, you know, anyone can sit down and type anything, as I stated.
Exactly. Type anything with their finger.
Anything with their finger. But the voice actually tells the story. It does the work. Most of the time when people speak, they speak from their heart, whether they're happy or sad or angry about something. You can tell it in the voice. But just to read just words, it can be crazy. I know some professors and still here in high school and professors just don't allow students to even have their phones on in the classroom. And whatever they see, they'll have to see it after class and deal with it at that time, because it can be upsetting. It can be something that's going to affect the students focusing or listening, any lectures or anything going on. So here they require that all phones off. There, I know it's a bit different because speaking with your sister Ashley and also Andrea, their teaching styles, you know, they use the technology.
That's the thing. We use it. We use it so much. It's so hard to say, put your phones up, don't take them out, because it's a lot of math in chemistry. So
of course.
They need their calculators, and the calculator is on the phone. So, you know, it's
of
so
course.
Easy for them to flip from that calculator to that Twitter or that Instagram.
Right, and
yeah,
you never know
so
what's
hard.
Going on. It's crazy. Well, when you speak chemistry to me, we didn't have any cell phones at the time, and you know, I think I don't know if I've ever told you this story, and I commend you because you know I just love you to death. But I'm barred from all chemistry labs. Okay, barred from all chemistry labs. I mean, I mixed up a concoction. And, you know, those colors really look good. You know, that purple and green and pink smoke, it looked real good. It was real pretty. But I mean, the students, the teacher, or anyone in the surrounding areas, they couldn't breathe. And things had to be done about that. So I am barred from all chemistry labs. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but your auntie is not about chemistry. And biology, I took a lot of summer classes so that I wouldn't have to do the biology, but I, for some strange reason, you're very strict there with education, and that curriculum that's set up, you're going to do it. And I had biology, and they said, you have to dissect this frog. I says, I really don't want to dissect this frog. But when I got through with that frog, he was liquid, okay? So sad to say that your auntie did not do any more biology. So the chemistry labs and the biology labs are off limits for me and have been for a long time. But I like the color of the smoke. I wish I could recreate it again. So it's... So when you're talking about working with numbers, not only is it's dealing with math, you also have to deal with your labs, and you have to, you know, perform in there. So can you imagine someone in there upset, burning themselves or making pink, green, and blue smoke?
No
chemistry for me. As a matter of fact, that ended my nursing career because I would have had to have chemistry, and that was just a no-no. Oh, no, she is barred from any chemistry lab in the state of Texas or any other place. Yeah, but I like making the colors.
No.
I love that. But so
I think you would have enjoyed my class.
I would have been doing your class. Yeah, probably repeating several times, okay? Several, because it just wasn't happening. As a matter of fact, to this day, I flash back on all the test tubes and what can happen when you mix up the wrong stuff. And I tell people, you know, please do not test me. Please do not test me in this test tube, because you might have to see something that you don't want to see, like that pink, green, and blue smoke, okay? So I always relate my back it up, no testing, you know, because people bully in different ways. They're very cunning with it. you know, even as adults, you know, not only in high school, anywhere, just in general mm-hmm. conversation, if you're not in tune to what's coming, you wouldn't really recognize mm-hmm. it. But my philosophy is you recognize it and you really don't pay any attention to it because it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with what you have to do. But in high school and younger students and young adults, they have to learn that. And until yeah. they learn that, it can be a frightening thing. So when you approach your students, when you show mm-hmm. compassion for your students, as I know you do, does mm-hmm. that make the relationship a little bit more trusting? I know it's very good to build a good relationship with all mm-hmm. pupils there. But it after is. You build and you might have to make a report, what does that do to that child, to that student?
You just like my relationship with them or with like
well your relationship system? Because you say they entrusted you know they trust mm-hmm. in you but sometimes depending on the incident you will have to report it further up mm-hmm. so that it can be squashed so when that
oh.
happens
mm-hmm. how does
do
that
they
change my
hold it against you
them? no with any of the times that I've had this come up with my students. No, it's never changed any, like, my relationship or their relationship towards me or how they felt about me. If anything, you know, they were really grateful that you know, it was kind of a weight lifted off of them to get something like that taken off. And it, you know, I make sure that I tell them it's nothing that you should feel bad about. You shouldn't feel like you're telling on someone. It's just you have the right to come here and get an education and not be have to deal with that, not to be, you know, threatened by someone almost. So
being a victim,
you know,
you have to
being
take
a victim,
a
yeah. So I think well, they're, you know, just happy that it's squashed.
Well, I commend you because I had teachers like yourself. You know, they would come in and get to the bottom of it. And
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure that you did not consider yourself as a victim. And, well, you know, mm-hmm. that goes all across. You get it from your teachers. You get it from your family. You get it, you know, you learn how to gain that strength. And you learn
mm-hmm.
how to stand firm, very firm, and don't sway. It's very
mm-hmm.
important not to sway toward the negative side. But everyone is not the same. So it's teachers like yourself that pay attention, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, see what's going on. You have so many.
Yeah.
I have so many professors. They could care less, okay? And that's what many. you have lecturers, and then you have teachers. And I
mm-hmm.
like teachers. And that has been all the way through. But as you return back as a returning student, as myself, you really pay attention to it because you're at
mm-hmm.
a different level. And so
yeah.
you pick up on it very quickly. And when you pick up on it very quickly, in my case, if I see that you're a lecturer and you're not a teacher and you're
mm-hmm.
not doing what you should be doing in order to get me to my next level, I get away from you.
Exactly.
Because I'm wasting my time.
Uh-huh.
And those that I have been in situations in which I take it to the end, most of the time it has a good outcome, and on a few occasions not so good. But, you know, you
mm-hmm.
use that as a stepping stone to step back and look at the overall picture, because is this something
mm-hmm.
that you really need to do? Is this something that you just got into to get into it? Is this something that you really need to move on to your next level? And you weigh
mm-hmm.
everything out. And then at the end, after you weigh everything out, if it wasn't a great grade, you just say, okay, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
I might be delayed for a semester because I'm going to have to redo this and get a better grade. And you just
mm-hmm.
learn how to live with delay is not defeat. But
yeah.
I am an adult and not in high school and been through many, many things in life, so I can view it that way. My question to you is, as a teacher, I know that you go to the students. I know that you build that relationship. But what else would you suggest that you're already doing that other educators would take a look at? Because everybody's not the same. And I
mm-hmm.
know you see it there. We're all different. But what would you suggest that teachers would pay more attention to as an educator?
I think you said the most important one, and that's just always looking at your students and gaining their trust. Gaining their trust is the big thing. So that way, I mean, we do have a lot of students. I have 8 classes and about, on average, 30 kids in each class. So it's a lot. So it is hard to see everyone all the time. But if you do gain their trust, then you may not have to see them, but they'll feel comfortable enough to come up and talk to you and just say, hey, Miss Thomas, this is going on, that is going on. Can you help me? Can you give me advice? I mean, even if it's little things, they'll still come to you and be like, hey, can you give me some advice with this situation that I'm going through? I mean, it makes you feel good as a teacher because you want them to trust you. Some of them at home, they don't have that adult figure to go in and talk to. Maybe they don't have a great relationship with their parents, or maybe their parents aren't living. Maybe they're living with their grandparents. I mean, it's just so many different situations they can have at home, and that's why I always like to just be a positive, adult figure in their life so that they can come to me if they ever need me. But I'm sorry if I got off from the original question that you asked me, but I always, when I start talking about that, I go off.
I wanted to hear so that others can hear, and persons mm-hmm. that have not gotten to the point where they want to gain the trust of the students, or they really know how to do that. This is good, and that's why the question was out there, what can mm-hmm. be done differently, because, and you're right. There's students that they don't have anyone at home to talk to, or it's different mm-hmm. circumstances. Even that's in high school. Can you imagine the little ones that in preschool? And when I taught for state and federal programs, and I mm-hmm. taught the little ones, and they do require, in the federal programs, they do require, like Head Start, that you go mm-hmm. and you home visit each child. I like the idea of that because that gave me a gauge of what that mm-hmm. child's environment is like. Mm-hmm. So when I see Johnny sleeping in the circle or sitting at the lunch table nodding off, I know mm-hmm. why he is sleeping, because he has not an adequate place to sleep at home. You visit them. Mm-hmm. You see what's happening with them. And that's a good thing to be able to get in there and catch them young. But as older adults, home visits mm-hmm. are not required. So as you state, you have to step back and build that trust line and make mm-hmm. yourself available mm-hmm. and let them know that you do care. And all children or anyone
mm-hmm.
that wants to know, that's children, adults, it doesn't matter, that someone cares. And
cares.
Once
mm-hmm.
they realize that someone cares, and especially if they don't get that in their home environment or they've never mm-hmm. had the care. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a lot of students that they don't recognize someone caring because they've never had it. And that puts mm-hmm. you in another mm-hmm. space, because you must step back and realize that and then go another route with them. No matter what you do, no matter, how positive you try to keep it, it just doesn't sink in. And it's not because they're bad students. It's because they don't
mm-hmm.
recognize.
They
so
don't
that
know.
Takes you,
mm-hmm.
yeah. into another level. Well, I love what you do. I love you. I wanted Lady A and Dr. Dre to come on. I try to space this out because they come in on a different type of note that they bring in. But I'm so glad that it's late. It's, you guys are 2-hour difference here. And, for you to come on and share this, because when I thought about it and you said adults that were bullied as youth, when we talked mm-hmm. about, does being bullied as a youth carry on through adulthood? What do you feel about that, Andrea?
I feel like as the students that are bullied at younger ages, I mean, it either can make them really timid as they get older and afraid
mm-hmm.
all the time, or it could make them be extra aggressive when they get older. And like someone, and what I mean by that is because of having that childhood of bullying, as they get into adulthood, someone could just say something to them, not even meaning they could say something to them, not even trying to be aggressive, but because that person, that adult, has been bullied as a child, it may come across as an aggressive comment, and they can maybe just explode from that. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Makes a lot of sense. I call it a walking time bomb, and that's why it's so important that we kind of take out time and learn one another and just don't just let anything fly out the mouth. And it doesn't matter if you are conscious of it. And like you say, I've ran into many adults. You come in, but no matter what you do, it's like a ticking time bomb with them, you know, like a hand grenade without a stem. And I, too, probably at one point in my life, I don't think that, and I could have been bullied. I know I wasn't the one that was doing the bullying, and I could have been bullied in certain ways that set off, you know, when we because in Texas we didn't know this bully. This is like a new word, you know. We called it something else, and I cannot mention what we called it over the air. But you know, I guess bullying. So it's kind of like all to me. So it's somebody walking up, just saying mean things to you, or you know, making negative comments toward just anything that you do, they create. I've had an incident as an adult, and I don't guess it was a bullying. I took it as an ego problem. I attend a lot of workshops, a lot of leadership workshops, and there was a gentleman, and so we would be in conversation, you know, with the entire group, and I would say something. He'd always have a statement behind it, right? And to the point where the attendees would say, you know, she can speak for herself, and he didn't really know anything about me, and you know I can't speak for myself. So I kind of like went through it because I am in this program. You have to carry a certain type of behavior. You have to be with these people 6 or 8 months. It's long, extensive programs. So at the end, what they do, you know, when you're wrapping it up, you have to clear everything. You know, you have to clear bad feelings. You have to clear to someone what they've done. Like, I might have to walk up to you and say, you know, when you took my knife and I was getting ready to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I didn't like that because you took it and you didn't ask for it. Anything that's lying down there, it has to be brought up because you're coming at the end. You're going on a retreat. You're with these people a full 3 days. I mean, that's eating breakfast, dinner, lunch, not, you know, sleeping in the same vicinity. You're there, and you're in a location where you cannot get away from each other. You're there. Yeah. You're there, and you're stuck. So you can't get angry and go home. You're stuck there. So what the beautiful thing about this workshop is that you have to clear it before you start traveling to your destination.
I like that.
So
that.
What happened, everybody was walking around clearing stuff, right? So I found him. And I said, you got anything to clear? And so you face to face. I mean, this is serious business. Yeah. It's nothing. It is serious business. So I ended up telling him, I said, you know what your problem is? I said, you are trying to tell me what to say, when to say, and how to say it. I said, and you and nobody else in this universe or in this whole entire system of what we call worlds will ever be able to do that. I said, I'm clear. Okay? And he just looked at me, and I was done with it. Because, see,
that was it.
It wasn't time to see it at the time it was happening. Because I'm thorough enough to look and see there's a problem there, and maybe he needs to be that way. And it helped me check my behavior because I could have ended it right after the first comment. Okay,
yeah.
I could have ended it. But
you could.
It wasn't time for that because evidently there's something in your life, young man, that you feel that you can do this. And I'm just going to let you take it all the way to the end because I can stop it. But at that clearance, and after that, you know, we you know, you could, we could have dialogue, but I could still see that he was uneasy because he wasn't expecting that. And I said to myself, you lucky that you have gotten to this point and didn't get told something. You know, Texans, we're a little bit different, and you're in a different state. Yeah, California, I've been here quite a long time, but I'm still Texan. I've learned how to use what we call the velvet handle, hammer, but I'm going to chop you. But I've learned how to do it with a smile. I've learned how to do it so we can remain friends, if you choose to. And I'm just going to see it, but it's like, and it's a form of bullying to me because individuals think that they can say anything that they want to say, but when you come back on them, they're not ready for it. So if I was bullied, yeah, they're not ready. So to the young adults out there, and, you know, like I said, this bully is a new word to me, but to the young adults out there who are going through it, this is coming from the eyes of a teacher. You talk with your teachers. You gain someone's trust. Get someone that you could talk to, and for the best part of it, don't let these issues or this experience that you're having weaken you. As an adult, weaken you, you know, so that you'll have lack of courage. You have to stand up and, as we say, face the darn devil. When somebody keeps coming, you stand up and you face the devil, and you get it out the way. Sometimes it's not a good feeling, just as you feel good when you let your students know that you're there for them. They'll feel good when they're standing up. I mean, if I cry, and that's as a child, Andre, and you know how our family is, if I cry, get out the way, because it's not because of what you did to me. It's what I'm getting ready to do to you. And I'm when those tears start rolling, everybody need to move. So because it doesn't go inwardly, it goes outwardly, and that's what a lot of the students and the young adults, like you say, their family environment, you don't know what's happening at home, and here's all this horrible stuff floating through the cyber about you, just floating out there, you know, like, what do I call it, radio waves float out there, electricity, all of that mess and all of that untruth is out there in the air floating about you. I can imagine how it makes them feel. It's hard. You as a teacher, you know, being aware and with your beautiful heart, they are very, very blessed to have you as an educator and to have you there with them, because you are actually not pretending. You're from good stock with heartfelt information, heartfelt teaching, and that's your being. You're true being to who you are. So those students at the high school is at Lamar Consolidated High School. And where is this located? In
Rosenberg, Texas.
Rosenberg. In Rosenberg, because areas are broke down there like they are here. And Rosenberg could be like from Los Angeles to Culver City in Los Angeles, or just different sections that are taken care of. And with the educational system like it is, you know, people talk about the South, and they, you know, one thing they do know, that when you come up out of there, your brains are moving. Else you don't have a head, okay? If you're walking around with a head, that brain is working, okay? If you are able, what did your father tell you guys? Every one of you was swimmers coming out from Ashley to Andre, not Coombs, not Max, swimmers. Now that's the top of the line. So that lets me know something. I'm putting that out there because I'm bragging on you, because I love you, but I wanted you to come on and share. You know, share your heart, share your concern. Talk to us about what you see in the high schools and the arenas out there, because it's a sad thing. There's been many movies on bullying. The co-host that worked with me, Little Nene, she did a movie on bullying, and it was called Clarissa's Gift. If you get an opportunity, get it. And Clarissa's Gift, and she was in that movie, and it was like a very interesting movie. It was directed very, very well, and all the actors and the things, but it gave a good story plot. It really gave mm-hmm. you something to think about. And as we're speaking of movies, and I'll share it with you, we're going to put this out. I'm going to tell my niece, I sent you this information. Your auntie will be a part of the cast for The Ghost of Mar Barker, which is a
wow.
play written and directed by T.S. DeVay. So I will be a
wow.
part of that cast. It's exciting.
Oh, you'll be great.
Well, thank you very much. I'm working on it. If I could just remember these lines, okay?
Oh, you will.
I stay away from the theater because I don't like learning lines. But, you know, if it's something that you don't like, listen up out there, young adults. Do it anyway. Because
yeah.
you will grow for it. You know, I like commercials, voiceovers. I like that sweet, easy stuff. But
mm-hmm.
to memorize the lines, I like to do the one woman. I've done several one woman shows. It's hard work, but it's a different because you're just up there with you. And so
mm-hmm.
what you say is basically what you say.
What you say.
And the persons that are out there, your main job is to convince them of what you
mm-hmm.
say. But when you're working with a cast and you're feeding off
mm-hmm.
those lines, you have to be on it. So in between
yeah.
finals and big people work, as I call it, and being a non-traditional student that like to earn A's, so not only do you read your chapters three times, you go back the day before the test and read it again because you
really?
Remember what you read. And
uh-huh.
and then you have your lines over here, and you're getting ready, so but I'm enjoying every minute of it because, like you say, you must be a positive figure for your students. I must be
yeah.
a positive figure not only for students, adults, myself. Behavior is the most important thing. And darn it,
mm-hmm.
if I can do it, I tell the student, you 22, you telling me you cannot do this?
You don't want
to
hear
that. No, they're walking around all sad and depressed. You know, I will tell people, I say, you know what? I have been watching you for about 2 years, and I don't know what it is, but you know, some people will not be happy even if you
mm-hmm.
give them a happy shot. And they look
uh-huh.
at me because they're not expecting that. I'm trying to get their attention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that's saddening you, keeping you depressed, and we all go through some form of depression or anxiety, whatever, through life, but you have
mm-hmm.
to pull up from that.
Yes.
You have to move forward. You're not here. We are placed here to be happy. You
mm-hmm,
know.
Exactly.
And whatever your darn happiness is, get there. And no one is to tell you how to get to your happiness. All we are
mm-hmm.
here to do for one another is to encourage each other to get happy. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're happy, you're feeling good. You're feeling good about yourself. You're willing, and most of all, the most important thing is that you're sharing and teaching others how to do the same thing. Your life turns around. It's
yeah.
a wonderful feeling. Some days you
yeah.
got $2, and some days you got $2,000. So don't worry about
mm-hmm.
it because you know that $2 is going to turn into $2,000 before the week is out.
Yeah. Uh-huh, that's a happy
so
feeling.
That's what you say, that's a happy
feeling. Yes.
Audrey, I'm loving you. I need to ask you something. We're going to come off of these students. How did your Super Bowl party go? Because I heard that you were cooking and fixing it and send me some prayers. So how did that turn out?
Oh, you mean the fight?
Oh, yes. Yes,
Mayweather and Pacquiao. It was nice. It was nice.
Okay.
I cooked so much food. I wish
okay.
you were here for it. But
now,
it
you know, I get in
really
trouble. Because you can cook. Everybody there can cook. So I don't have to worry about cooking when I come in to visit because I'm around the best cooks in the world. I love it. But what did you cook? Kind of like share with us. Let's see.
Oh,
it was okay.
I had a special sauce for meatballs. I did like little appetizers, but
okay.
I can't give out the special sauce for
okay.
the meatballs because it was from
okay.
my mother-in-law. She would kill
okay.
me.
Okay.
But it was delicious,
okay.
so I will make them for you. And
okay.
then we had some, you know, just little chicken wings with barbecue sauce on them, nacho dip. We had brownies. So little things like that. Nothing big, nothing like Christmas dinner.
Okay.
I have to work my way up to that.
But not Christmas dinner, Sunday dinner, because
Sunday
down there in the South is like a Christmas dinner, you know.
Oh,
it's
yes,
like,
you're right. You're right.
You know, I mean, I remember it could be 14 cakes on the table, and that was just for Sunday. But what I like about the South, and I tell people, I say, you know, you people eat too late here. You know, dinner is at 6. What? 6 o'clock? We have ate 4 times, took 3 naps, and getting ready for dessert. Because there you eat whenever the food gets ready. You know, when you walk in, if it's 9 o'clock in the morning, start taking the tops off the pot. And that goes on all day long. So it's kind of hard for me to, you know, keep up with a lot of my dinner invites or celebration invites because they eat too late for me. You know, I'm used to, you know, shoot, by that morning, by the time you're on your way to Aunt Joe's, we have ate 3 times. And we watching you out the window because that's as far as we can. We can't stand up and go to the door. We have to peek out the window because either you've had 3 naps, and it's just, it's a difference. It's very different, and I get a lot of invites. And most of them I have to turn down because I don't like eating dinner at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's too late. You're hungry.
It is.
When you, and then, oh, and please don't go to anyone's house and you have a few people that no matter if dinner is at 4, you're not going to eat till 7 because it's not ready. And you're and you're smelling.
All that time.
Yeah. You're smelling this time to go to bed. You know, it'll be 10 o'clock in a minute. So when I speak of the South and when you guys call in, they kind of like, I don't be so lonesome here, but I wanted to share, like I said, I am not going to stop until I get Lady A and Dre and yourself on the phone and Miss Dora White, which is
nice.
Your mom. You know, Dora came on about this show will be on for a year. On the 26th of May.
Oh,
and in the beginning,
wow.
the first month, Dora came on with me and we talked about things that happened at Texas Southern and what she does. And she was like my kickoff. So, you know, my family's already told me I don't deal a year. Oh, that's wonderful because, you know, if I hold on to it 10 minutes, it must be good. And Jackie and Willie, how many years have your grandmama been married to your papa? What, 55? Is it 55 years?
Or more.
Yeah, but I have them laughing because every time we talk about it, I say, wow, over 50 years. If I could stay with somebody 50 days, I'd be okay, and they just fall out. I love it. I miss you so much. So my question to you, Andrea White Thomas, and how is Mr. Corey? I don't want to overlook him.
He's doing good. He's getting ready for tomorrow ironing.
I know, and I'm not. I know that it's almost, what is it, 10 o'clock there? Because
yes.
You guys are 2 hours. So I'm going to ask you for one statement that you can leave us with that's going to stick on, and it can come from anywhere, a parent's view, an educator's view, just a human view. And I want you to leave us with one thing. I'll give you a moment to think about it if you don't already have it in mind.
Let me think about it, what I want to leave my view with.
Okay. For you.
Okay, I think I have it, and it's something that I know that they've heard before, and they've heard it tonight, and it was actually my first time hearing it, and I'm a quote something that you said tonight on the phone that really stuck out in my head, and I know I'm going to pass this on to my students, and I'm going to use this for life, but when we were talking earlier, you said that delay is not defeat.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. That is something that I will keep forever. I never heard that before in those words, but I love that. I love it.
Well, thank you.
I love it.
And that's what I tell myself because, you know, even as an adult, even that, we run into I would say they would be bullies because you run into individuals that thrive. Mm-hmm. This is what they live for, to mm-hmm. set up roadblocks and brick walls mm-hmm. and everything, and they feel within their life that is what their mission is to mm-hmm. hinder others from reaching their goals. We'll see mm-hmm. a goal setter and as a determined individual. And if you are a determined individual, no matter what, mm-hmm. you must have determination. If you are a determined individual, you will realize, even though you're delayed for a moment, it's just mm-hmm. a daring delay. You're not defeated. There's always hope. And sometimes mm-hmm. delays are set in your path to make you redirect. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that you make a redirection, it's better for you. Because once a determined individual gets set like a pit bull bites, and they won't come up until it's done. A goal setter and a person mm-hmm. with determination and a courageous individual. You have a problem with those type of people trying to stop, block, or hinder. So mm-hmm. everyone realizes that, or they used to, but they don't think about a delay is not a defeat. They get caught up on the blockage or the brick wall.
Yes,
when you run into a brick wall, you know you're doing right because you know it must be something good on the other side of it.
There.
So mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I want that to stick with you. I want that to stick with everyone. And just as I appreciate all the listeners, I appreciate you. And most of all, the person, and I usually say this in the beginning of the show, but I never end my show without appreciating the person who woke me up, so that I'm waking up you and you and I and everyone else. We're waking up the world together. And I appreciate my training legacy group, that workshop. We're LP 112, and we can run the country, okay? When we went through all of that, we can run the country. See, people think that they're leaders, or they use the word as leaders, but a leader is something else because you have to take on it all. And most mm-hmm. of all, you have to be responsible for everything that you're involved in. When you point and set the blame and blame others for whatever you're going through, you give up your power. So you have to be able to take the responsibility for whatever you're experiencing, witnessing, going through, and to keep that there. And, of course, you know my organization, I always appreciate them because they keep me focused on my mission and on my humanistic vow. There's a mission and there's a vow. Once you take on a vow, Andrea, you're in it, okay? So, therefore, that statement of determination, a delay does not mean defeat, I guess, came up through my life, my experience, and what it needs and what people need to hear to wake them up. It's about moving blood cells in the brain here. It's not about just getting up out the bed. It is about moving the blood through your brain to think, mm-hmm. take action, step into your greatness, stay there, and take others with you. That is our motto, and we live by that, and we stick by that. But you have put a smile on my face because once, you're family, you're stock, you come from mm-hmm. good stock, the most mannerable, sweetest individuals that I know. I just love you to death, and I don't want to tell the listeners, but this is my great-niece. And I have great nieces, so I don't want to date myself here. Y'all started real young down there, didn't you? But it's like a pleasure to have someone on the phone talking about caring and compassion and building trust with others, and especially an educator, shaping those young minds. It really, really makes me feel good. And I just want to let the listeners know that family is the key. Family, and we all have to take care of each other, and it's the family and the whole world. We're all connected, whether we want to admit it or not. So mm-hmm. whether it's an immediate family, an outside family, a make-believe family, we must take care of each other out here. And again, I will say a reminder that delay does not mean defeat. And I want you to think about a quote and it text back or write back and let me know so that we can put many, many things out there. I'd like to hear what keeps you going through the day, because that statement keeps me going through the day no matter what. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. No, I was saying I want you to think of a quote. Keep it, write it down, get it back to me.
Oh,
and when I get off the phone, I will text you back, or when you get off the phone, because I realize that it's late, please text me back your email so that I can get information to you. As soon as you hang up, I want to say thank you so much for being with your auntie. Thank you for helping.
Thank you for having me.
Waking up the world. And please enjoy your day and take care of those babies. I'm not going to hold you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to a great educator, Miss Andrea White Thomas, which is very, very close and near to my heart. I hate to brag, but that's what it is. And she has shared with us what I see as a teacher and how she has compassion and care and build relationships with her students. So young adults out there, if you recognize your teacher trying to have dialogue with you and showing care, please adhere and give them back what they're trying to give you. Andrea, we love you, and we're going to say goodnight, and please text that back to me before you go to bed.
I will.
Okay,
thank
I love you.
You,
and kiss everyone for me.
I will, love you.
All righty, good night, we love you.
Good night.
Good night.
thing that you need.